The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here to tell you about the best soap in the universe. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. February is Think Spring Month at BubbleGenius.com, just in time for Valentine's Day gift giving. Instead of the same boring old flowers and chocolates, why not pick up their Spell It Out Valentine Heart Soap Gift Pack? It's three delicious-looking soaps shaped like Valentine's candy hearts in pastel candy colors of green, pink, and yellow, and are all cherry scent. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You really want to know what love is?
Yeah. Yes, tell us.
More than anything in the world, Ron.
Well, it's really quite simple. It's kind of like... Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Man.
Afternoon delight.
We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world. Singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show. Presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Thursday, February 4, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, that's Chez right there.
Yep.
We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com as the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page. And by all means, please clap.
Please clap.
Poor guy.
So
I
sad.
Want a t-shirt that says that.
So sad. Jeb!
Please clap. Yeah.
That's the saddest thing I've ever seen on a campaign trail.
It really, really is. I mean, really ought to be his campaign slogan. Honest to God. Jeb!
Please clap.
Oh man, you know,
how do you feel bad for a Bush?
I know,
somebody from a political dynasty who's incredibly wealthy, and yet I feel terrible for him.
So yesterday I'm writing up my salon piece about this please clap remark by Jeb Bush, and I'm hearing like the sad violin music in the background. You know, like the music that you hear in old Warner Brothers cartoons when there's like two homeless cartoon characters and they're carving up one bean on top of an overturned oil barrel.
Yeah, the music that's playing when blind Ralphie walks in during A Christmas Story. It was so poisoning.
So poisoning.
Please clap.
So sad. Just sad.
It is really, really sad.
And you know what? It's got to rub salt in the wound that his idiot brother became president.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah.
And he can't.
And see, the strange thing is that Jeb Bush is pretty much a clone of his dad. I mean, he's pretty much the same. He's got the same campaigning style. He's really, he's a little farther to the right than his dad because he has to be in this climate. But he's very much the same. And I think Jeb Bush, as a Republican, is one of those last remaining Republicans. He's of an endangered species. He's of a dying breed.
Yeah. No, I agree. I read your piece and I thought the exact same thing. It's like, I'll take 100 Jeb Bushes over what's happening now.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeb Bush strikes me as a somewhat decent person, at least.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I mean, I may disagree with him on everything, but at least he seems like, you know, he's not evil.
No.
And fucking God, man. You know, he's being beaten by Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Yeah, that's right.
A narcissistic bully and a theocratic sociopath.
I compare Jeb to an endangered sea turtle that's washed up on the beach, and then tourists and beachgoers have like red Solo cups, and they're putting ocean water on his head trying to keep him alive.
Yeah,
it's that kind of sad. It's that just that sad, dopey, sad sack kind of thing that's been going on for a while. And I also compared him to Philip Seymour Hoffman in Boogie Nights. It's like every time he walks into that Trump propeller blade, he just thinks he's got it. He's got it nailed. Like, I am totally going to nail Trump with this line. Here it goes. 1 and a 2 and a 3. And then he does it. And then Trump just sort of sidesteps and then sucker punches him. Yeah. And then Jeb Bush, just that the blood drains out of his head. And he just goes,
oh, fucking idiot.
Just gets that look on his face. If you haven't heard the clip, here's Jeb Bush from a teeny tiny campaign rally in New Hampshire yesterday.
I will be a commander-in-chief that will have the back of the military. I won't trash talk. I won't be a divider-in-chief or an agitator-in-chief. I won't be out there blowharding.
By the way, blowharding, that's
blowharding. We need to really stop turning nouns into verbs in our culture. Like adulting. I'm adulting.
You're
not fucking adulting. You're an adult.
Yeah.
And if you're an adult, you're not adulting.
The blowharden, that's W through and through. That's W. Yeah, that's something that George W. would say. I'm not going to be blowharden.
I'm they're evil doing.
I'm the decider.
The decider. Decider.
they're evil doing.
I won't be out there blowharden.
Blowharden.
Talking a big game without backing it up. I think the next president needs to be a lot quieter, but send a signal that we're prepared to act in the national security interests of this country to get back in the business of creating a more peaceful world. Please clap.
See, now, this completely, in all seriousness, this speaks to something we've been talking about with regard to the Republicans for quite some time now, which is that what he's talking about there, about not blowharden, it's nice to make fun of it, but the fact of the matter is, that's the kind of president you want, who's not going to be out just with a lot of bluster and threatening people and making fun of them on the campaign trail, and then, more specifically, governing in a way that reflects a certain level of decorum, a certain level of discipline. And I'm afraid that, at least on the Republican side, that is something that is rapidly, rapidly dying, to the point where, you know, we have one Trump now, and we sort of have a Trump character in Ted Cruz. Yeah. And then next time around, there's going to be 3. And the next time after that, there's going to be 6.
Yep. Yeah, this is once the bar is set, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you know, I mean, I think I heard somebody, and I wish I could remember who said it, on one of the news outlets the other day, one of the mainstream news outlets, saying, you know, originally, you know, a year and a half ago, when we thought it was going to be Clinton and Bush again, like, how boring is that? And I'm thinking, you fucking You know, this is not a game. This is not a horse race for you. Mm-hmm. This matters. And you know what? Yeah, you know, there's something that is in a huge negative about political dynasties owning the elections. Mm-hmm. But considering what we got, my God, I would take Clinton and Bush in a heartbeat if it were to come down to that.
Yeah, it's really becoming a reality show, and it's been a slow process. It's been increasingly that way over the last several election cycles, but now you really see it. It's like now it's like the slow boiling frog. Now you can actually see the frog dying in the boiling water. I mean, it took a long time in coming, but it's here. I mean, what reality shows have been around for? Well, I mean, let's say not including the Real World. Let's say reality shows starting with Survivor have been around since 2000. So now we're 16 years in. Finally, it's seeped its way into the political process, and that's what we're getting now. And it may seem innocuous on the surface, like, oh, we're getting reality. Isn't that great? But what it is, actually, there's a scriptedness to it. There's a need to be obnoxious so that you get recognized in games. You watch any reality show, the most popular characters are the most obnoxious ones. And even that goes all the way back to like the first season of The Real World, where who was it? Maybe it was the second season with Puck. Was that the second season?
Puck does not respect Pedro. I always used to, God, I love that. That season was so good because I want to shake the hand of the MTV executive who said, you know what? We're going to take a guy who has no hygiene whatsoever and put him in a room with a guy whose immune system doesn't work.
Jesus, that's right. God, right?
But you're right. And that's the reason, though, why Trump owns the media.
That's right.
Because he knows exactly the breadcrumbs to drop and how to do it. And the way to do it, like, he's so amazingly savvy when it comes to how the news cycle works.
Yeah.
You know, and he follows sort of the reality TV pattern, which is, okay, I do this. And then I do this because that would be the next scene or the next episode in the reality show. And then I do this. And all the while, it just keeps the media stringing along. It's perfect.
Yeah, you know, there was a big article out this week about the Trump con, like the is a whole plot that he laid out at the very beginning. And quite frankly, it's something that wasn't really much of a surprise to see that. You know, to see that article is just like, well, where have you been? Of course, this has been something that he's planned all along. Not necessarily making it up as he goes. He knew going in that he was going to treat it like a reality show. And he was going to be the guy who, you know, would become more popular when he stormed off. Just like in the old reality show. So like if someone storms off a reality show, that's big time for that character. And what did we see Trump do last week? He stormed off, didn't appear at the debate.
That is incredibly astute. That's exactly what he's doing. He is being the reality show bully.
Yeah.
He's being the Omarosa.
Yeah, exactly.
Who has been on his show, by the way, his stupid Celebrity Apprentice show.
He's like the character from Desperate Housewives of, I don't know what it is, Beverly Hills and
Real Housewives.
Real Housewives. Yeah.
Like, why do I know that?
I didn't know the title of the damn show, but I knew there's one character who sort of needs to be the center of attention at all times, and she's the one who's got Munchausen syndrome or something like that, where she's always in pain or there's always some crisis that she's in, and that's like Trump, but she's also the most popular character on the show. So that's all he's doing. He's applying this. But again, it's not news. It's something that we've been observing for a long time. What is news is to follow characters like Jeb Bush, who are just getting trampled in the stampede toward that kind of politicking, at least on the conservative side, on the Republican side, where it's all about the novelty rather than the character who has, you know, that presidential quality.
You know what, though, on reality shows? Mm-hmm. Americans, audiences love a redemption arc.
That's true.
Who knows? Maybe if Jeb gets sad enough, maybe it's calculated.
Well, I know. I mean, the comments, my Twitter feed has been insane reacting to the please clap thing.
Please clap.
That's never not going to be funny.
Please clap.
Is he carrying an applause sign with him?
Yeah, please, please. Oh my God, please clap. I'm dying up here. Yes, I mean, the reaction on Twitter has been sympathetic among people who despise his policy platform, who despise the way he governed in Florida, but everyone's like, aww, poor Jeb. Jeb is sad.
Jeb has changed his logo from an exclamation point to a period. Please clap.
Jeb.
Right, that's exactly.
Jeb. Please clap.
Please clap.
And it's, you know, it is something that he could actually do because he's raised more money than any candidate on either side, from either party. And it could just be, as I wrote at the Salon today, it could just be that he may fight this campaign of attrition where he's got enough money to just wait out the others to drop out so that he's all the way up to maybe third in a couple of months just because he's got the war chest to be able to do it. So by default, if all of these characters, like we had, Rand Paul dropped out this week, Rick Santorum dropped out. Wouldn't be surprised if Chris Christie is there.
Did Rand Paul drop out?
Rand Paul totally dropped out.
Wow, I totally didn't know that. Yeah, that's really, that's how sad it is.
But he flip-flopped so much, he'll be back in like 24 hours. but he dropped out. Rick Santorum dropped out. I think that John Kasich's going to go next. I mean, all of the bottom tier.
As Dan Savage said, Rick Santorum dripped out.
And then we had, who else dropped out this week? Mike Huckabee. We talked about that on Tuesday. That was right away. Mike Huckabee's like, oh, God, forget this. You know, but Mike Huckabee was never in it to win anyway. He was just in there for the publicity.
Yeah, he was in there so that he can continue getting a gig on Fox.
Yeah, for his Fox News Q score. That's what he was doing. So sad, sad Jeb Bush desperately wants. That should be his slogan instead of Jeb. It should be sad.
Sad, yep, sad Jeb Bush.
S-A-D exclamation mark. Please clap.
Please clap.
All right, so we had a CNN town hall last night with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. We're going to talk about that coming up. Plus, tonight there's going to be a debate on MSNBC hosted by Rachel Maddow. As if we didn't have enough of Hillary and Bernie on Wednesday night, we're going to get more of them tonight.
Thank God.
And then when we come back from a short break, all right, this was the big deal yesterday. And it doesn't need to be this way. And as we talk about the clownscape on the Republican side, we can't help but to talk about what the Democrats are now doing, and how, I hate to say it, goes right to Bernie Sanders with this whole bit with, now we're going to turn ordinary words and political discourse into name-calling words, like establishment. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the enemy, you're establishment.
Yeah. And yeah, then, it's a bunch of it's nonsense. It's nonsense language. You know, my personal favorite is corporatist.
Corporatist, yeah.
You're corporate.
That's right.
What the hell is that? What does that even mean?
I just thought of this. Like Ben and Jerry's is going to do like a Bernie Sanders ice cream flavor. It's going to be called Establishment. I don't know what flavor.
Bernie's not establishment.
For a second there, after I delivered that joke, I was expecting some sort of laughter, and then I...
Please clap.
No, no, actually, what would happen is, as soon as you said that, I'm surprised that we didn't, like, somebody else Skyping didn't suddenly just break into our broadcast, and, what did you just say about Bernie?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, we're going to get into progressive versus moderate right after we talk about this. All right. We love Harry's Razors. You want to know how much I was paying for razors before I discovered Harry's? Way too damn much. Holy hell. I was paying $32 for an 8-pack of replacement blades. Just so I can shave the hair off of my face. It's like paying $32,000 just to mow your lawn. It's insane. No wonder millennials are going around with their scratchy neck beards. They can't afford to shave. But now you can get Harry's razors, even you millennials, for half the price of the leading brand, but twice the quality. The Harry's Razor Starter Set is an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades. The truly amazing thing is that I get a salon-quality shave with German-engineered five-blade cartridges and a hefty chrome-plated handle that looks like it's from the future. Harry's is rebooting the shaving industry, and you can be a part of it. By the way, women, you're going to love Harry's, too, for your armpits and your legs. Go to harrys.com and enter the promo code BANDC, that's B-A-N-D-C, for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face and your legs and your armpits with Harry's Razors. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I guess I'm not a progressive. I thought I was.
Oh, yeah. You don't talk about this, huh? Before we even start, let me just, to me, the reason I made that comment about somebody just breaking in and...
What did you say about Bernie?
is I just posted a little while ago. There's a really good article at Vox right now. And it just, I think it's called, let's imagine for a minute what a GOP campaign against Bernie Sanders would look like.
Uh-huh, right.
And it goes into great detail about, look, here's the things they're going to bring up here, you know, and they're not going to give they're not going to give a f- about playing fair. They are going to hit him and hit him hard on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much material there to work with, even if the Bernie people don't seem to see that there is or think that he can handle it. And you know, and the guy makes the claim. He's like, look, this is not saying don't vote for Bernie. This is saying that facts are that Hillary Clinton has weathered this for decades. And there's nothing new that they can say about her. And she has actually come through it relatively unscathed. Not, you know, I mean, she obviously still, over time, it's built up into this image of her, as I wrote about on Sunday, built up into this image of her as somehow untrustworthy and corrupt. But overall, you know, each scandal hasn't really stuck to her because there's not a lot of there. But she's weathered it. You know, this is what she's good at. And somebody commented, one of my friends on Facebook, I post this and I post a quote from it. And one of my friends who's a huge Bernie supporter just immediately jumps in and says, so your argument is that they won't do the same to Hillary? Really?
No, God.
And I immediately responded. I said, did you actually read the piece? No. Yes, I'm going to quote here. I said, did you actually read the piece? No, you obviously didn't. In fact, all you did was see that somebody was saying something negative about Bernie, and the Pavlovian instinct kicked right in, which, by the way, is exactly what the author of the piece says is an issue with many Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
And then he responds, I didn't read the article. I only read your preface. No need to get snippy. I'm like, you.
Jesus God. Yeah, you know,
I just proved him. You proved him right. You proved me right. What I've been saying for the past few days. Come on.
I was watching MSNBC. I believe it was Tuesday night, and they were in New Hampshire, and they were talking about, I think it was Katrina Vandenhoevel and Chris Hayes were talking about universal health care and Hillary Clinton's recent declaration that she supports universal health care, as if it's something new for Hillary Clinton, with 1993 in mind, with the existence of Obamacare, which, no matter how you slice it, Obamacare is intended to be a universal health care law. That's what it is. But they're making it out to seem as if, oh, she's in favor of universal health care. That means she's now adopting Bernie Sanders' support for single payer. Now, a couple of points on this. First of all, like I said, she supports Obamacare, which is a universal health care law, and she wants to expand it. That's been part of her platform all along. All right. And again, I'm not endorsing Hillary Clinton here. I'm just outlining the reality of the situation. Two, isn't Bernie Sanders, or at least part of his intention in running for president, to pull Hillary Clinton leftward? And when she moves leftward, isn't that something that we should be clapping for, right?
Please clap.
I mean, it seems to me as if that's what's supposed to be happening. Like, Hillary Clinton is supposed to be sounding a little bit more like Bernie Sanders, and that's what we're seeing now. And now this thing where she's declaring herself to be a progressive, you know, that should be a point of applause from Bernie Sanders supporters.
Please clap.
Who are watching Hillary Clinton move leftward.
But they're not, because it's not about that. They just, this is true belief. This is, no one can insult their you know, progressive messiah.
That's right.
This is exactly what it is. So, I wish I could say differently. And by the way, again, I say this over and over, not all Sanders supporters. Of course not.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, we've got to make sure that.
So many that it has created a reputation among them. And if you think that that's something that the media has concocted, you are a fucking moron. Mm-hmm. That is absolute. I am living proof of it. Every single time I write anything about Bernie, that it doesn't even have to be negative. And by the way, I haven't really slammed Bernie himself. You know, it's just like, look, here are the facts. Here's what, you know, here are the difficulties he faced. Oh, also, Clinton is not as horrible as people have made her out to be. And just thousands and thousands of comments and nonstop evisceration on Twitter. Yeah. And it just doesn't stop. And when you come back with, like, look, here, look, these are facts. Tell me, as you and I have talked about more than once, give me your plan. Tell me how this is going to work. Tell me how he's going to show me a path for him to get the nomination, for him to get you to overcome all of these obstacles, these polling obstacles, these polling deficits. Show me how he's going to get to the nomination. Show me how he's going to get to the White House. And then when he's there, show me how in the hell he's going to get a thimble full of this insanely ambitious agenda of his through so that it becomes reality. And if you can't show me that, you need to back the f*** up.
That's right. Now, meanwhile, yesterday on Twitter, and the point of what we're getting at here is yesterday on Twitter, in response to Hillary Clinton declaring herself to be a progressive, which is something relatively new. I mean, I've heard her use that word before. She did a few months ago say that she was a moderate, but you know, they can exist. They're not mutually exclusive terms. So Bernie Sanders tweeted to Hillary Clinton yesterday, "You can be a moderate, you can be a progressive, but you cannot be a moderate and a progressive." That's news to me.
Yep. Because there's your political purity test.
That's the purity test, right? So now we're defining what it is to be a moderate, and what it means to be a progressive. And Bernie Sanders, clearly the progressive, is what we're to glean out of this. And Hillary Clinton, clearly the moderate. But she can't be both. But that's I mean, I was kind of shocked by this. And quite frankly, I was a little bit insulted. And I'll tell you why. Because I consider myself a progressive. I consider myself a center-left progressive, but I didn't think progressive was reserved exclusively for the far left, for sort of the Bernie Sanders, Glenn Greenwald, H.A. Goodman wing. And by the way, speaking of interjecting randomly.
Were you actually talking to H.A. Goodman?
H.A. Goodman trolls me all the time. Him and Ben Spielberg, both from HuffPost.
H.A. Goodman follows me,
yeah,
which is kind of funny, yeah, on Twitter, uh-huh, and yet he's never responded to anything that I've written.
Yeah.
And the only thing the only reason I can imagine, either he just hasn't noticed, which is entirely possible, yeah, or he's got to probably have an idea of my personality.
Yeah.
Well, I would just call him names.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's some fuel for you. I went back to his archive on Huffington Post. Here's his article from November 17th, 2014. Headline.
Oh, I've seen them all. They're awesome. Before you even say it, the headlines of his articles are like Baghdad Bob.
That's right.
They're dying at the gates. We're roasting their stomachs.
Yeah, that's
Bernie,
right.
Bernie Sanders is going to not only defeat Clinton, she's going to sweep the South, and she's going to defeat Clinton, and he's going to defeat Clinton, and then he's going to be elected by a 98% margin to the White House. 98%, I predict it.
That's right. I think there was a headline along the lines of Bernie Sanders is 30 points behind in South Carolina. He will be the next president.
Yeah, I mean it's
like
insane.
Oh my God, what? And then this headline here, November of 2014. I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm voting for Rand Paul in 2016. Here is why. Of course, perfect. That's perfect. Predictable. That's, of course, we know that. Because what we know is...
Oh, my God. Why? You know what? I should totally, for the first time ever, I should tweet at him. Hey, who are you voting for now that Rand Paul dropped out?
That's right. H.A., in case you don't know, H.A. Goodman is a writer for the Huffington Post, mainly. Evidently, here he says he... publishes in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Baltimore Sun, the Hill, Salon, the Jerusalem Post, and hagoodman.com. You go to hagoodman.com, it's a series of basically Bernie Sanders commercials in video form. But anyway, I was going to say, it's like H.A. Goodman and Ben Spielberg are those Bernie guys who every time I even barely mention them, it's like, who was that woman who used to pop up every time I'd mention Greenwald? It was like saying, Beetlejuice, 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 and then suddenly he's there.
Was it Marcy Wheeler?
No, it wasn't Marcy Wheeler.
No, it was the other one. I can't think of her name.
Mona Holland.
Mona. Thank you, Mona.
Yeah, Mona Holland.
I got my M names confused.
Would pop up. Yeah, right. And H.A. Goodman, Ben Spielberg are like Mona Holland.
Yeah.
But what
every
we know is that...
They're tuned in. Like, they've got a little, like, you know, Chrome extension set up there, you Google search or whatever, the Google alert, so that every time somebody mentions Bernie and says something negative,
yeah, that's right,
and they show up.
I mean, what's very obvious is that there is a massive Venn diagram overlap, if not the exact same group of people, between the Bernie bros and the Snowdenites. Yep. I'm seeing the same. I mean, it's the same thing with me on Twitter. It's just like the summer of 2013 all over again. And by the way, I'm not really defending Hillary Clinton. I'm not endorsing her. I'm not supporting her necessarily. I'm just concerned about what's going on. And it's just insane.
I'm sorry. Just for the hell of it, I went to H.A. Goodman's Twitter page. First of all, he just has this look on his face like someone is squeezing his balls. And more importantly than that, his Twitter handle, mm-hmm, is all caps, H.A. Goodman author. Like, all caps, H.A. Goodman author.
Right.
Please clap.
Exactly. Oh, I muted him. That's why. That's why I haven't heard anything from him.
crap.
So back to this, I mean, back to this progressive moderate crap. You can be a progressive and be a moderate one. Why? Because you can be a progressive at heart in terms of your worldview and then govern as a moderate. That's what kind of Barack Obama has been doing occasionally. Or, I mean, actually, Barack Obama has been occasionally governing as a moderate, occasionally governing as a progressive. You can do all of that. That's what the big tent Democratic Party is all about. And now what's happening is, with the endorsement of the guy who's going to win New Hampshire on Tuesday, we're now factionalizing the Democratic Party. I mean, more so than just say, well, you know, I support Hillary, you support Bernie, or I support Bernie, you support Hillary. It's more than that. This is like a permanence. This is like saying, from now on, these people over here, the good people, the people who belong in the clubhouse, are progressive. You other people, you establishment people. I mean, there's one guy. One guy appeared in my Twitter feed, referred to me as a 100% establishment guy.
Okay.
It was, I mean, quote, 100% establishment guy, unquote.
You know, well, I think one of the things that does get me a little bit is this has turned into a battle between extremes. And I think that if you go out and look throughout the country, you're going to find that most people, there is a vast swath of people in this country mm-hmm. who are kind of in the middle.
Yeah,
who are right. sane, who are on neither fringe. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, the idea of Bernie, you know, I'm genuinely not worried about this, but the mere idea that Bernie would get the nomination would be him and Trump. And all these people would be unrepresented because neither of them would be willing. I mean, actually, you know what? I'm willing to bet that somebody like Donald Trump, I don't think Ted Cruz would. Mm-hmm. I think somebody like Donald Trump actually would slightly pivot back to the center.
Yeah, I think.
And I'm not saying, by the way, not saying I want to see that guy be president. But let's say for just, you know, just for and giggles, we have a Bernie and a Ted Cruz matchup. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Basically, most of the United States of America would not be represented by either of these two people.
That's right. That's right. You'd have a middle going, where the hell do we go? That's, you know what happens then? That's when Bloomberg gets in.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Throws the entire thing into chaos, probably favoring the Republican candidate. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with more show right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSiska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at BobSiska.com. We get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you.
Please clap.
Okay.
You know who needs to narrate that? Yeah. Who needs to narrate that entire campaign stop for Jeb?
Yeah.
Sad Michael Moore. No one would clap for Jeb.
Oh, my God.
Jeb stood there, and no one would clap for him.
No approval. No ice cream for Jeb. No dessert. Spend more money. Get fewer votes. Spend $2,800 per vote in Iowa. Yep. $2,800 per vote. Per vote.
Just so, like Roger Smith wouldn't come see me.
So sad.
No one will come and see Jeb.
Please clap.
And then, so I just keep going back to this.
Oh, f***ing idiot. it.
All right. Is there another? When's the next Republican debate? Next week, probably? I don't know. Maybe next week. I don't think it's going to be. Maybe for a couple of weeks. Because after Tuesday, Tuesday is going to be New Hampshire. And then I think, when's the next primary? I think it's February 20th is going to be the Nevada Democratic caucuses. And then the South Carolina Republican primary, both on February 20th. Followed by February 23rd, the Nevada Republican caucuses. And then February 27th, the South Carolina Democratic primary. By the way, just I'm looking at the Nate Silver forecasts here. Sanders favored to win in New Hampshire 96% to 4%.
Yeah, saw that.
And really, I mean, first of all, there was an NBC poll today showing Hillary Clinton gaining a little bit, but not nearly enough.
By the way, that means for those of you who don't pay attention to how Nate Silver does things, that's not the vote.
That's right.
That's the percentage of possibility.
That's the those are the odds.
But right? Exactly the odds. But I mean, if the numbers hold over at 538, right after that is where the fire starts, where the gauntlet begins for Sanders.
Yes, because what's going to happen is when he decisively wins New Hampshire, that's when the vetting really begins.
Right. Well, it really begins, but also a big win could change the narrative. But I think that Clinton is smart to tamp down expectations there. And I do think that once you get to the South, I think it's going to be a big win in South Carolina.
That's right.
And I think that once you get to Super Tuesday and you're talking a whole bunch of Southern states, that's going to be a blowout. And then I whenever people go round and round with me now, I'm like, you know what? Why don't we just stop talking until March 16th? Because after March 16th is when you'll see a ton of Southern states.
Yeah.
You know, you've got March 1st and then the 15th. And if Bernie is really still standing after that, then we'll talk.
By the way, Bernie Sanders right now, in terms of the polling average, according to 538.com, Bernie Sanders leads by about 17 points. If Hillary Clinton comes within 10 points now of Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire, that's going to be seen as a win for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
because New Hampshire is such a lock for Bernie Sanders because, I mean, Vermont right next door, et cetera, we all know the reasons. And if he doesn't win as decisively as the polling is showing and she gains on him, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to extrapolate a Bernie Sanders victory in New Hampshire into Bernie Sanders victories in really the two other, there's two other states, and Wisconsin's one of them, where he should do really well. It was like Ohio, New Hampshire. And maybe it was just Wisconsin and like one other state where Bernie Sanders was favored to do extremely well. Because
any place with black people, Bernie Sanders is not going to do well.
That's right. Which is any state that has a big city in them where there are people where people live. It's like the Republican adage, you know, where Republicans do really well. Look at all that red on the map after a general election. Look at all that red, all those red states. Well, you know, Wyoming, there's four people in Wyoming.
Right. And they're all Republican.
Congratulations on winning Wyoming. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this, the Des Moines Register.
I saw that.
Wants to turn those machines back on.
This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
I mean, the results were narrow. And you know what? Go ahead. Do it.
Yeah, okay, go
back
fine.
Into the results of the Iowa caucus and see how they're doing. You know, with some extended vetting of the results. But I don't know. I mean, do they really keep track on the Democratic side? Do they keep track of the individual votes? And that's the real question. But the Des Moines Register editorial board on Thursday called on the Iowa Democratic Party to conduct an audit of its caucuses, declaring in a headline, "Something smells in the Democratic Party." The board wrote that now that questions have been raised about chaos at precincts and coin flips used to determine the winner in some locations, they can't stomach, quote, the whiff of impropriety or error. The paper wrote, "What happened Monday night at the Democratic caucuses was a debacle, period. Democracy, particularly at the local party level, can be slow, messy, and obscure. But the refusal to undergo scrutiny or allow for an appeals reeks of autocracy." Hmm. Oh, God. "The Iowa Democratic Party must act quickly to assume the accuracy of the caucus results beyond a shadow of the doubt." And sure, okay, go for it. By all means, turn those machines back on.
This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
The Register argued that that a race as close as the Iowa caucus should automatically trigger some kind of review, that, quote, too many questions have been raised. Too many accounts have arisen of inconsistent counts, untrained and overwhelmed volunteers, confused voters. Confused vote, really?
Yeah.
We're accounting for confused voters.
We're doing that again.
Most voters are always confused. Oh, but then again, I'm 100% establishment guy. So me saying that voters are generally confused, that's just the establishment in me talking, blah, 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 blah. Jesus. They also talk about cramped precinct locations, a lack of voter registration forms, and other problems. We're going to put the system on trial. That's what this is all about. So, I mean, it really seems like the idea now is that we're going after moderates. We're going after the process of having caucuses in the first place. We're going after the Democratic Party establishment. This is not good. This is not good for a candidate who absolutely requires the support of the Democratic Party establishment. That's a given. He needs those superdelegates, and if he's crapping all over them, saying that they're basically implying that they're corrupt, because that's what the establishment label is all. His establishment is just by nature corrupt. That's what we're led to believe here. Good luck with those superdelegates.
Yep.
Jeez. All right, one last break. We'll wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
So how did Bernie Sanders do with the youth voters in Iowa? Numbers have come out in the interim since then. A stunning 84% caucus goers. I have to be careful with that word, caucus. Stunning 84% of caucus goers under the age of 30 supported Sanders, the 74-year-old Vermont senator. By comparison,
the 74-year-old guy that they've made cool.
That's right, because it's ironic that they're supporting a 74-year-old guy. By comparison, Barack Obama won 57% of the youth vote in a three-way race 8 years ago. The under 30 share of the electorate was just 18%, down 4 points from 2008.
I could make a really basically easy joke about, oh yeah, of course, you're talking about millennials. These are people who are used to their parents providing everything. And here along comes a guy who's kind of like their parents, who's like, you know what? I'll give you free college tuition. I'll give you anything. All right. My life's made. Cool. Elect him.
But I mean, we can't.
And I like weed. Oh, there you go.
But I mean, seriously, we can't overlook this. The under 30 share of the electorate was down 4 points from 2008. Yeah. This was supposed to be a massive youth movement that requires a huge youth voter turnout. Huge.
Yes. Well, look, that's the problem. Yeah. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying this is somebody who's like Gen X and poo-pooing the kids. The kids have always shown up and gotten and been activated, you know, been really active in politics, mm-hmm. and gotten, you know, really excited. But when the time comes, they don't show up.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, no. They just, there's something great when you're a kid about the, hey, you know what, it's a big rally and we're, you know, getting together and that kind of shit. But when the time comes to actually do something, mm-hmm. it's in fuck no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Bernie Sanders requires overwhelming youth vote force. That is what's necessary for Bernie Sanders to win the nomination. And it seems to me as if his numbers are down from 8 years ago from the Obama share of the youth vote. I mean, yeah, granted, he got 84% of voters under the age of 30. I mean, that's a huge chunk of the total youth vote, but they're down by 4%, allowing for Hillary Clinton to offset those numbers by running up the score among baby boomers and old people. Clinton won 58% of the 50 to 64 vote and 69% of the 65 plus vote.
And those are people who will vote. They will vote.
That's right. That's right.
They will absolutely vote.
It's much more fun to go see a rock concert. This is why crowd sizes are not a good gauge or not a good predictor of election outcomes, because people will go to a rock concert, but not everybody will go to vote, especially in a caucus. Again, a caucus is kind of prohibitive because it's not like a normal election where you can show up at any time of day. Sometimes there's early voting, there's absentee voting. You can vote more casually, whereas a caucus, you got to show up at X time and you got to be there, and it's going to take some time, and you got to be shuffled around, got to be prepared to stand around for a long time. And that's kind of prohibitive. And I can see how no one would want to show up to a caucus like that. But if you're, you know, if you're 21 years old and you've got crap to do and you've got an overnighter, like an all-nighter to pull, study for an exam the next day, it's very unlikely that you can show up for a caucus. So, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to get at, with that being an example, is relying upon the youth vote exclusively is kind of a recipe for disaster.
It is.
It's kind of a recipe for disaster. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, I can't remember, one of my friends, I think it was Clara, who said that, our friend on Facebook, who said, you know, he's created sort of a perfect storm of millennials, the people who, like, the Greenwald Intercept readers who are angry over everything, and old hippies.
Yeah. And by the way, just speaking of that, I don't know. I don't know if you realize this. Not only did Bernie Sanders vote against closing Guantanamo, but he also supports continuing Obama's Predator drone program.
Yeah, yeah, no, that I knew about.
I mean, he's going to add some regulations to it. I mean, he's going to add some strictures to the process, but he's in favor of continuing the Predator drone program. He said unequivocally at the town hall last night, when it was Wednesday night, that that he wants to destroy ISIS. So we're talking about more military interventionism overseas, and that's a fact. You know, there was one questioner at the town hall who asked Hillary Clinton, "Can you promise that you won't get engaged in any more military operations overseas?" And she said no. She was honest. She said no. I wish that question had gone to Bernie Sanders too, because he would have said no. He can't promise that sort of thing. And that's, again, that is the, you got to give, if that would have been Bernie Sanders' answer, no, I would have applauded him for that. Not of because course. I support military interventionism all over the place, but because it's an honest answer. And
it's not just an honest answer. It's literally the only legitimate
answer. The only answer.
Because you have no idea what's going to happen from 1 minute to the next. Anything can happen. To say, oh, no, that's an idiot question.
You know,
of course I can't promise that we won't go to war somewhere. You'd have no fucking clue what's coming tomorrow morning.
Yeah. And it's a shame that this wasn't a topic of conversation online as much yesterday, that the existence of that town hall, because that was maybe one of the best campaign telecasts that I've seen. I mean, better than the debates, certainly better than the Republican debates. But it was, I mean, I thought both candidates did extraordinarily well. I thought Bernie Sanders was funny. He was off the cuff. He answered questions honestly. And I think one of the things I admire most about Bernie Sanders is the fact that he is 100% authentic. I get the sense that he's got this air of confidence about him, about everything he says. And I think that's
sure,
definitely
because
positive.
He believes it entirely.
Exactly.
He leaves it entirely. Yep.
Yep. And I thought likewise, Hillary Clinton also did very, very well. She was asked several very challenging questions. She was asked by a rabbi, and she was able to quote scripture and the parables and a theologian who gave her the script. And it was like, of course, I hate the religious pandering that all these people have to do.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is she answered that question with aplomb, and then she Then she went on to answer a very tough question about her relationship with Goldman Sachs and the speaking fees.
I saw
fees.
That, man. Everybody lost their minds over that last night.
Yeah,
which I thought was like, really? Look, dude, I'm sorry, but actually corporate money is in politics. You wrote about it the other day.
Yeah.
It is in politics. Mm-hmm. It is in politics. Bernie can't do anything about it until actually you can't put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
It's got to get out of politics for Bernie to even get elected.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is just, again, I thought she was very honest with her answer. Because she said, I think Anderson Cooper said, you know, you were paid $600,000 or whatever the total is. And he said, why did you accept that? And she said, honest to God, she said, well, that's what they offered.
I
thought, oh, my God. It's a completely, I mean, it's kind of a dark answer.
Yeah.
But it's an honest answer. And she could have stood up there and she could have obfuscated. She could have changed the subject or rejected the premise of the question. And instead, she answered the question directly. And I thought that was great. I thought she was also really good when she was talking about her granddaughter and she was talking about her mom and her relationship with her late mother. And that was, I mean, that was some real Hillary moments there. And so I think she did. She ended up doing very, very well. I think when it comes down to the tiebreaker between the two candidates in terms of how they performed at the town hall last night, I think ultimately it was Hillary Clinton with that edge on the presidential factor.
Right.
I think if you're an undecided voter, ultimately when it comes down to a tiebreaker, it's got to come down to which one of these two people are more presidential. And maybe because I'm 100% establishment guy. Maybe that's just my own qualification and that's my bias. But the fact of the matter is that's what the American people have always wanted. We want that. We want to know that our candidate is up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about how to fix the country. That's what we want. And we want to see that. We don't. And that's why George W. Bush was such a disaster, because George W. Bush went to bed earlier than I did. I mean,
you could tell from the very beginning that he just intellectually and curious just didn't give a crap about anything.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that's a major disqualifying factor. Major, major disqualifying factor in all that. All right. So, you know what? I guess we have some time for this.
Let's win this thing.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse Ventura.
Darn right.
Darn right.
Not some suit who only toes the party line.
I don't play that game.
Okay, so Jesse Ventura is back. He started restarted his show, his video show on YouTube. And this time around, he was talking about campaign finance. How appropriate. Talking a lot about campaign finance. Specifically, I think one of the questions I wanted to see asked of Bernie Sanders, maybe it'll happen tonight with Rachel Maddow, how Bernie Sanders intends to compete with the Republicans on money without using a super PAC and without taking big corporate donations. So here's Jesse Ventura was talking about campaign finance, and he basically compared politicians to being whores and prostitutes. And that's no news, but I just love hearing Jesse Ventura say, whores and prostitutes.
And
what's that?
I've had so many of them in my lifetime. I call up and say, send me your best red hair folder.
Little known fact, the magnificent Moolah was a whore.
I don't know how I pulled that one out of my ass. The one famous female WWF star was the Magnificent Moolah. Was that it? Am I getting that right?
Even though that makes more sense, why do I think that it was Amazing Moolah?
Amazing, it might be the Amazing Moolah. I don't know. Here's Jesse Ventura talking about campaign finance.
It's as simple as this.
Okay.
Fabulous. Pardon me, Fabulous.
The Fabulous Moolah. Yeah, thank you.
I fucking looked that up.
Do you think they're spending this money not buying influence? Do you think this isn't our government officials being whores and prostitutes? Do you think when they get this truckload of money from this corporation that it's not going to influence them on the laws they suggest and the laws they vote on? Of course it is. It's called bribery. And it's alive and well.
Bribery.
Right. You totally have to ISO, by the way. Oh, whores and prostitutes. If I don't hear that again, it should be whores and prostitutes. Please clap.
That's right.
Please clap.
In our public sector, even though in the private sector, they still maintain it's against the law. Well, you know what gets me? What do they need to spend all this on? These guys are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on what?
Well, that's obvious. Whores and prostitutes.
Whores and prostitutes.
I mean, of course, they're spending a lot of money because it's expensive to run a political campaign. You have to hire staff. You have to travel. I mean, it's constant travel. But yeah, then again, I'm 100% establishment guy.
I haven't even seen a TV ad hardly yet. Are they waiting to give us this onslaught of them? Or is this just party time at the expense of wealthy...
It's party time. Party. I don't own a TV in my bunker, in my doomsday bunker. So therefore, I haven't seen...
You know
seen
what it. I bring to party? I bring Thermite Coke.
Whores and prostitutes.
That's the whole point of me bringing up Jesse Ventura on the show, is so Chez can do his thermite paint. Jesse Ventura rant. All right. Postmortem show coming up. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. All right?
All 10 minutes of it.
Yep.
Run like hell.
Well, I mean, at $5 a month. You sign up at $5 a month. Yeah, 10, 15 minutes of the postmortem show.
I feel like the last one that we did was pretty long.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we did like a good 15 minutes on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the idea. The idea is like we throw in all the stuff that we didn't get to on the main part of the show. And then if you sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at the top of the website, bobsisker.com. Then you get to listen, and I think it's really kind of, I think it's a bargain. I think it's a great value. You get that show twice a week, only $5 a month. But if you sign up at the $10 or $15 level, you get a bunch of other shows, exclusive to Patreon.com. And as soon as we get to $7,500, we're coming so damn close. We're coming very close to... $3,000 left to go. We're coming up on the $4,500 mark. I think it's going to happen this year. I think it's going to happen in 2016. I think we're going to be doing 5 shows a week plus the after part. Imagine that, dude. We're going to be doing 6 shows a week with the after party. It's exciting, huh? All right, again, that's...
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah, patreon.com/Bob and Chez.
Please clap.
We'll see you on the postmortem show, folks. Bye-bye.
Please clap.